Let us now turn for our instruction in God's Word to the book of Acts and the chapter 16. The book of Acts and the 16th chapter. We commence our reading at the verse 1. The book of Acts, chapter 16, the verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. Come, let us hear God's holy word together. The Lord, help us to receive His word by faith. The Lord, grant that precious gift of faith and give us an understanding and application to our hearts and lives. This is God's holy word. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews, which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, Come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly, gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, Chaer, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down, and spake unto the woman which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this she did, and this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas, and threw them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitudes rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, waking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. And when it was day, the magistrate sent the sergeant, saying, "Let those men go." And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, "The magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore, depart and go in peace." But Paul said unto them, "They have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison, and now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out." And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared, when they had heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia. When they had seen the brethren, they comforted them and departed. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless that public reading of his precious and the holy word to our very needful hearts, and all to the glory of his precious name. Well, dear congregation, I turn your prayerful attention once again to the book of Acts, chapter 16, those words that I read to you. I read the whole chapter in your hearing. But this evening I want to consider the verses 12 to the verse 15. And this woman named Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira, and here she is in Philippi, and she meets with the Apostle Paul. I read from the verse 12 of Acts chapter 16. "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days. And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a river, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the woman which resorted thither, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple, of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, If ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us." Now, a number of things as we consider this woman whose heart the Lord opened that day and was baptized. We want to consider a number of things. We read that her household were baptized with her. You notice at the end of this chapter that her household are called brethren. They were believers too. We read in chapter 16 here, the verse 40, "And they went out of the prison and entered into the house of Lydia," that's Paul and Silas, and Timothy also, and probably Dr. Luke was with him. And they went in, and when they had seen the brethren, that's Lydia's household, these are believers, they comforted them and departed. Now we must not depart from the scriptural teaching and the mandate which we find in Acts chapter 2. On that day of Pentecost, all that received the word gladly were baptized. There is no mention in this chapter of a husband, which Lydia has. And I believe that it would be highly unlikely that her whole family, her children, would be baptized and her husband be unconverted. Would be an unusual thing. It's simply unheard of. So there's absolutely, first of all, we must mention that there's no mention of a husband here. And she would be usurping, and the Apostle Paul would be usurping the authority of the husband if she was the only believer. But here we read of a household. It is quite clear from the passage of Scripture that she is a businesswoman. She is a tradeswoman, a seller of purple from Thyatira. And here she is selling her wares, and she is worshipping. But what about these other people that are baptized? Well, it is the view of many eminent scholars that these people also, of course, they're called here brethren at the end of the chapter. They are brethren. But we have to understand the time somewhere now is around 49 AD. And we know that, you remember when John had baptized, there was the baptism of John. And then there were some of the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was baptizing. It was a different baptism. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. Now, we don't have a lot of details here, but it is quite clear, and I truly don't believe that the Apostle Paul would baptize those who did not believe. And at the end of this passage, as I've shown, these were believers. It's the same with the case of the Philippian jailer. They all received the word of God, we are told, gladly. And they were baptized. And here the whole household. Now, if the husband is not mentioned, and often this phrase is used in terms of people that lived. And imagine she has her own business here. And here she is in Philippi, and there would be tradespeople with her, helpers. And she comes to the riverside on this day. It is the Sabbath, and they are with her. Now, it is mentioned here that the Apostle Paul, he draws near to the woman that gathered for prayer. Now, that does not necessarily mean that there were only women, that perhaps the idea is that there were women sitting together and the Apostle Paul draws near to them. They will want to meet for prayer. And it was quite common in these days that the woman would sit separately from the men as they worshipped. There was custom in amongst the Jews. Now, that's quite possibly the case. Now, for there to be a synagogue, there would have to be 10 men. So perhaps not enough here to make a synagogue, but they are worshippers of the Lord. Many of them, we know, people in these days had believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ. We read here exclusively of this woman's heart being opened. But they were also baptized. That is my view and the view of many others, that the Lord had been working in the hearts of the others who were baptized that day. But exclusively here, the Lord opens Lydia's heart on this day. And that's where we want to focus our attention this evening. These others had not, they were worshippers like Lydia. And you can imagine, they're all here, and it's very interesting, they were all baptized, the members of Lydia's household, with her that day. So they were worshipping with her by the riverside. If you read the narrative, you'll come to that same conclusion, I trust. So here she is with a group of people, and we have to remember that this is a foreign businesswoman. Now, the Apostle Paul has been wanting to preach in Asia, but the Spirit has forbade him from preaching in Asia. Let's just notice as we come to the text. As Paul, he begins this ministry, we note as chapter 16 begins, he meets with a young man, who is Timothy here, who will be a pastor. So that's really how the chapter begins. And Paul, he is in Derbe in Lystra, and a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. Now, Paul circumcised him for expediency, because he knew that the Jews would not receive him because his father was a Greek. And he's not a young boy, but he is old enough to make that decision for himself, and he will follow the Apostle Paul, and Paul will train him for the ministry, and so on. But Paul, he feels that he should go and preach in Asia. You notice, you come down to the verse 6, when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. But Paul, what about all those that are perishing in Asia? Well, the Lord has his people in different parts of the world. And there is one to be saved here in Philippi. Paul, you must not go there. There will be those that will perish in Asia in the interim. But the Lord has his people. And I hope you see here the sovereignty of God at work in this woman's life. Paul must not go to Asia, but he must go to Philippi. And this is not the first time that this sort of thing happens. Again, I acknowledge here, and we acknowledge the work of God sovereignly in the life of Lydia concerning providence. And if you turn to chapter 18, this is not the first time that this happens. Chapter 18, when Paul wants to leave Corinth, he enters into a man's house. He wants to get out of that place, and he enters into the house of a man by the name of Crispus. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, "Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in the city." And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. Now Paul is not saying, or the Lord is not saying to Paul, "Don't be afraid because these people are going to protect you." That's not the teaching. The teaching is, I've got many people to be converted. There are many people to be saved. The Lord protects his people. He doesn't rely upon others. The lesson is, Paul, you stay here. The work will be hard. The Corinthian church will be a difficult church. But the Lord has his people to save. The Holy Spirit forbade the Apostle Paul to go and preach to Asia. He said, you must go now to Philippi. And so the Lord sent him there. So very clearly, we read here how the Holy Spirit is directing Paul. And maybe you're here tonight and you're somebody who's wondering, well, I've come along to this church and I seem to be rather an oddball. And we have to say, Lydia seemed really out of place, didn't she? Here she is in Philippi. She is from Thyatira, Asia Minor. Paul's forbidden to go there, preach there. Holy Spirit forbade him. But here, God is working. What brought her to Philippi? Business, perhaps. She's a worshiper of the Lord. That doesn't mean to say that she is saved. She was perhaps a proselyte. And she had known and been taught the things of the Old Testament. She had known something of the true and living God, but she had not been brought into a living experience of saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we read here, it's interesting when you really get to study the passages of Scripture, and I say, read over them. I've been reading through Scripture some 28 years now. Read them through, and it's amazing how many things you will find in your study as you study the Word of God. Get into the depth of passages, and you'll see things. And we see here, amazingly, these brethren that were with her, that were baptized, were with her, were there, and they were baptized that day as she was worshipping, but it was her heart that was opened that day. Well, she had a proclivity to these things. Not a natural proclivity, but the Lord was at work in her heart. The Lord was working. The Lord was working. Brought her to this place, all by the providence of God. The Lord was working. The Lord worked in providence in bringing Paul. Nothing is by accident, friend. Maybe you're here tonight and you wonder, how have I got here? And that's the question, how has the providence of the Lord brought you here? It's amazing when you talk to different Christians and you talk to about their, you hear about their backgrounds and how the Lord worked. You think, my, this person came from that side of the world. How did you get here? How did you become a Christian? You talk to Christians, and it's amazing how sometimes we hear of the providence of God working. The Lord directed Paul back here, not only for this woman, but then to speak to the Philippian jailer. And then other things. God is at work. You know, the Bible teaches us, friend, that everything is ordered by God. I want you to know that. There's some people who would call themselves Christians that don't like that teaching, but that's, I'm afraid, what the Bible says. And that is one of the greatest comforts of the heart, that all things are in control of God. The destiny of all God's people are in His hands. And He brings them to hear His word. And He saves them. And He quickens them. And as we'll see tonight, how the Lord opened her heart that she received the things which Paul spake. Now what did Paul speak? It was his custom, wherever he went, either in the synagogue or here on the Sabbath day. And the word here, want, is the word normas, which means it was the norm. It was the norm that prayer would be held at this place by the riverside. Now maybe, as I said, there were not enough men to form a synagogue. Or maybe, we don't know much about this gathering. Was it a Christian gathering? We really don't know. And you can't read too much into the text. And I'm afraid that so many people have read into various parts of this life of Lydia, and we're not meant to. We've got to look and see at the evidences, like I pointed you to the last verse in this chapter, how this household of Lydia are called brethren. They were believers, and they were baptized. Perhaps they didn't know. The time now, somewhere around 49 AD, they didn't know about the baptism of Jesus. The Apostle Paul has come teaching. You've got to remember that even by now, many of the Gospels have not even gone forth. The church is still being established. The Epistle to the Romans has not been sent out. Some of the epistles haven't gone out. Churches are still forming. It's the early foundation of the church. Who are these company of people? Could be a mixture. Well, of course, they're a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. But the point is, on this day, at that riverbank, as Paul preached the word of God, here amongst these people was a lady whose heart was closed. Now, we're all born into this world with a closed heart to God. That's what the Bible teaches. The natural heart is enmity with God. It's closed. And we don't heed the things of God. And we read here concerning this woman, how the Lord opened her heart, that she, this woman, verse 14, and a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. Now you can go up and down this land into various churches, and you can go into a church and you can hear people, preachers, stand up in the pulpit and they'll read the scriptures and they'll preach a sermon. And many churches, well, they won't preach the truth, sadly. That's the sad reality of it. But even when the truth is preached, people do not attend to the Word of God. I mean, we've seen it here. We've seen people come along. It wasn't so long ago we had a visitor here, and I think he was counting the bricks on the back wall. And it's as if people come along and they don't realize the seriousness of the Word of God. They don't attend to the things of God. And so this is often how people come, don't they? They come just out of a sense of, well, I'll be there. And I'll gather with the people. And I'll just go through the motions of worship. And perhaps that's how she was. We're told she was a worshiper of God, but not in the heart. She didn't attend to the ministry of God's word. Now, maybe you're one of those people. You'll look at the floor and you'll start counting the floor tiles, or your mind will be taken up with something else. And let me say, for a good while in my life, that's how I was. Okay, it wasn't an evangelical church. Didn't preach the truth, but I had no interest in spiritual things. I was a lost man. It seemed like I reverenced God. I mean, my parents always thought there was something unusual about me. I never swore. That was just unusual about me. I didn't like swearing. I didn't like certain things. Somebody might have said, well, he was different. Just different. And maybe the Lord has done something, but the Lord hadn't opened up my heart. I had no desire for these things, but one day the Lord opened my heart so that I began to attend. And maybe that's you. You're coming along and you're beginning to attend. You're beginning to take in these things. What did Paul preach? Paul would have preached about God's holiness. God's holiness. The holiness of God. And he therefore would have preached about the fact that if we sin against God's law, the wages of sin is death. Have you attended to that? Do you understand that God's law demands justice? And then he would have preached about the necessity of one to die for sinners. He would have preached about the Lord Jesus Christ and the righteousness of God which he promises through his Son. That's what Paul would have preached. But there was that moment that Lydia, she began to attend. Her heart was once, as it were, so hard, so locked. But now she finds her heart being drawn out to God. I ask you tonight, is your heart drawn out to the preaching of God's word? See, because by nature it's not. But do you find yourself being drawn? It's a wonderful thing to be drawn. Many people are just drawn to a place of worship. And they like just the formalism of it. And really it means nothing. You say, well, that was wonderful. And you say, what was wonderful? They said, it was just wonderful being there. Well, what was wonderful about it? The only thing wonderful is when we begin to receive the truth of God's word, friend. And God's word has some very hard things to tell us. God's word tells us that we are exceedingly sinful. That we have all sinned. We've all come short of God's glory. And the wages of sin is death. Oh, the world doesn't want to hear that. The world does not want to hear that. I was preaching in the open air once again this week, preaching the very same things. People were walking past with wagging their heads. They didn't receive the things that I was saying. We had even our own member of parliament come and hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I sat and I preached to him. And I exclaimed that the woes and the troubles of this nation will not be solved and resolved by parliamentary laws. The only thing that can change the condition of this nation is God. God changing hearts. When God changes a man's heart, the man's destination is changed. All men are on that broad road to destruction by nature. We reject God's word. We reject the truth. But God breaks in. It's the Lord. Notice the Lord opened her heart. It's an amazing thing. Nobody can open the heart but God. Maybe you sat here for many a year under my ministry and you've heard the word of God. Your heart is still closed. Have you cried out to God? Lord, break up this fallow ground. Give me a new heart. We ought to be troubled. You know, I've preached to people for years and sat down and gone over personal lessons with them, given them the gospel over and over and over again. And it's still like the heart is blind. The problem is, it doesn't want to receive the truth. But the Lord opens the heart. But you see, the sovereignty of God at work in this woman's life. See how God sent Paul there. And God sends people into churches. I believe that. Faith comes by hearing. And if you hear, you mustn't say, well, God is sovereign. He'll save who he's going to. That's true. But also faith comes by hearing. And the Bible does say, take heed to how you hear. For by the measure that you hear, it shall be given unto you. There is a responsibility of man. But God is sovereign. And he will trouble us in our sin. And I'm sure that this woman was troubled in her sin. And she saw, Paul must have preached about believe and be baptized. That's why she asked to be baptized. And not only that, I can tell you that this woman's heart was changed because it says here that she constrained them, come back. Come back to our home. Notice in the verse, end of the verse 15, and when she was baptized and her household, she besought us. Now, if she had a husband, she wouldn't be doing this. She wouldn't have been taking the leadership. Paul would have said, no. Let's speak to your husband. You don't invite me. Let the husband. But that's not the case. Here is a wealthy businesswoman. And now, such kindness in bringing her the gospel and the truth has been shown her, and she has been baptized, and the household, the people that are with her. She besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house. She doesn't say, mine and my husband's house. Come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us. That is, there was this sense of urgency upon her heart. One of the things you know when somebody's heart has been opened, the heart is drawn towards God's people. You now find that you love to be around God's people because they love the same truths you love and they love the same Lord you love. And you just want to repay them in some way. And we know that this didn't happen immediately because you notice in the verse 16, and it came to pass as we went to pray. I mean, the prayer meeting hadn't even started yet. As we went to prayer, a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us. So the devil had different plans, didn't he? And what does she say, this young lady? And a certain damsel, possessed with a spirit of divination, met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. She was employed by men in the city. And was a sort of fortune teller. And she came proclaiming, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. Is anything wrong with her statement? No. She was dead right. But the thing is, she was obstructing the work. She kept on and on and on and on, this voice. When the Apostle Paul tried to preach, she kept shouting. I mean, he couldn't argue with her. But she was obstructing the work. And so what happens? Well, Paul commands that the spirit be moved from this damsel. And Paul and Silas, they get into a lot of trouble. And they end up being thrown in prison, in the stocks. But you see, God's sovereign again, isn't he? He plans to save the Philippian jailer. And God sends a massive earthquake so that the prison doors are open. And the prison guard, he's so afraid. Paul says, we're all here, don't worry. And the man says, what shall I do to be saved? Paul says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. They heard the Apostle Paul singing with Silas all night, praising God. Praising God for what? Well, what had happened in the life of Lydia and these other converts who were baptized that day with her, who were called brethren. You see the sovereignty of God. Now you just think, and stop and think, there are millions of people who will never hear the word of God. Who does God save? Sinners. Does he save good people? No. He doesn't save good people. Not at all. He saves sinners. Listen to this. The damned think they're good. The saved know they're wicked. The damned believe the kingdom of God is for those worthy of it. The saved know the kingdom of God is for those who realize how unworthy they are. The damned believe eternal life is earned. The saved know it's a gift. The damned seek God's condemnation. The saved seek his forgiveness. See, this is not a religion for the strong, but for sinners. That's who God saves. Simple. And these people became convicted in their sin. God opened their heart. Are we damned? Well, you're damned if you think you're good enough. Anybody who thinks they're good enough for heaven is a lost person. The Bible says Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Paul would have preached the gospel. Paul said, I have not come, Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. Friends, I have no fine words to bring you. This is not about eloquent speech. You know, there's some people that they're just impressed with a fine eloquence and presentation of the truth. But what about the truth itself? Have you attended to the truth? It's the truth that shall set you free. The truth of God's word that he saves sinners. that he does not call the righteous. Here is a woman, she could say, I suppose, I'm a wealthy businesswoman. I have all these colleagues, and we worship God together. Look at us, we're by the riverbank, where prayer was wont. It was the normal thing to do there. We're good people. No, we're sinners. Her heart was open that day to see that she was a lost sinner. Her heart was broken. And these others, maybe they'd been praying for her, I don't know. But they are called in the end, brethren. Isn't that wonderful? They worshiped with her. God was at work. Also in the life of the Philippian jailer. Also in the life of Crispus and his family. Also in the life of Cornelius and his family. They all received the word of God gladly. They attended to it. Why? Because the Lord opened the heart. You see, the problem is not a mental one. Is it? It's a heart condition. And when God comes, he troubles the heart and he opens it. Our hearts are so small and so constricted, so proud. That's the natural heart, pride. The human heart says, I'm clean. Man says, I'm good. But God says, no. Sinners. The two men, remember, went up to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other one a tax collector. One, his prayer was, I thank God I'm not like other men. But the other one, all he could do was keep beating his breast because of the pain in his broken heart. God be merciful to me, the sinner. God had opened the truth to his heart. The Lord that day showed Lydia that all of her worship was empty without Christ. And let me say this, we can only truly begin to worship and to thank God when we understand who and what we are. We are unworthy sinners who deserve his wrath, who deserve his damnation. But you know, when we go to the cross, and as Paul would have preached the cross, I believe with all my heart, her heart was melted at the love of God in Jesus Christ. So that she truly worshipped from a new heart, from a changed heart, so that she attended the things. How much do you love God's word? You see, she attended the means of grace. It was the Sabbath. She was a worshipper. There was a sense in which we could say that she was keeping the ordinances here of God, and it is by the keeping. Now, maybe you're not saved, but let me say this. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God, and you've got to attend to the normal means of grace. And these are the normal means of grace. If you want to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, you've got to come along. You've got to hear God's word. You've got to keep receiving it. It's like a little flower, you know. You don't water it. You bet that thing's going to die. That's your heart. If you're born again, Peter says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of God's word. And like her, what does she want? She wants fellowship. Paul, come to my house. Silas, come. And you know what? At the end of all this chapter, after Paul has been in the prison, after the Philippian jailer has been saved. They return to her home. And it says they encouraged the brethren. What did Paul go and do? He told her and all these brethren what good things the Lord has done. And you know, that is all part of being a Christian. It's like this, I'm sure you've heard the analogy. You take a coal out of the fire and you put it on its own. What happens to the coal? It dies out. But you put the coal in the fire where it belongs and it burns. That's Christian fellowship, isn't it? And the Bible says if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And our fellowship is with the Father and His Son, Jesus Christ. That was this young woman. We don't know if she was young. This woman, perhaps older, an established businesswoman. And you know what we find? Here she is, tradeswoman, here in Philippi. She made the Lord's Day special. The Sabbath. And that's one thing we've got to do. God has given us one day in seven to worship Him, to praise Him. Why is that day special? Because the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus who lived for us and who died for us, who suffered in our stead. What happened on the third day? He rose from the grave, triumphant over sin, having taken the sin of all of His people to Himself, suffered and died, and took away the wrath of God as it was poured upon Him. He purged, the Bible says, our sins, and is now in heaven. And this day is a reminder that one day we're going to rest with Him forever. We're going to enter into the new heavens and the new earth. And this is what the Old Testament spoke about time and time again. Psalm 116 speaks. Psalm 118 speaks also. This is the day that the Lord has made. Paul would have preached that. And I exhort you, if you are new in the faith, keep coming, keep hearing. And the Lord will open the heart of all of His people. It's not by accident that the Lord saved her. The Lord sent Paul to Philippi. Paul, don't go to Asia. Go there. I have people to save. And if God has saved you, that is an amazing thing. Because so many others will never be saved. It is God's mercy to save. God said, I will have mercy upon whom I will have mercy. But let me say this, it's not a small thing to sit under the ministry of God's word and not to attend to it. It's a serious thing to sit under God's word and not to attend. Do you remember the indictment that the Lord Jesus Christ gave on those cities where He did many mighty miracles and wonders and signs? He said it'd be more tolerable for those wicked Sodomite cities, the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, than for them in the day of judgment. While God is sovereign in salvation, He does not take lightly those who sit under His word and do nothing. It's a solemn thing, isn't it? I'm very humbled every week in my own salvation. The fact that God has saved me, and Christians, you ought to be, when you see people sit here and they do not attend to the Word of God. That's natural man, isn't it? Be humbled, Christians. Take no pride in this. But thank God if he saved you. If you're new in the faith, let me just say this. Every conversion is wonderful. If we were to look at any of these, if we were to look at Timothy, if we were to look at the Philippian jailer, if we were to look at Lydia, and we'd say, which is the best conversion? Which is the most wonderful? There isn't. They're all wonderful. It's all wonderful how the Lord would save anybody. And it's wonderful if he saved you. It's wonderful he saved me. And we ought to thank him. And if we're saved, we ought to be like Lydia. We want to spend time with God's people. And we want to rejoice in the Savior. Who knows what God will do? There's no accidents with God. But everything by him is planned. He has said, my word will not return unto me void. And if you are saved, that ought to be a wonderful comfort to you tonight. That it has been all of God's wonderful grace to you, a sinner. What these people needed to hear in Lydia's household too was a wonderful thing. Paul was not only dealing by God's help and enabling with Lydia, but with Lydia's whole household and these other households. It is amazing, isn't it, how God saves, and sometimes he will save a whole household. And maybe, who knows, young Christian, the Lord might even save your parents, your grandparents. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. He often works through families. And thank the Lord that he sometimes often does. And we will give him the thanks and the praise for it all. Ultimately, we will give thanks to Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Well, may God encourage us in these things. There's so much more to say, but I trust we've gained something from a glimpse of these happenings here at Philippi to the glory and encouragement of our souls. May God help us and open up hearts to attend to his word. We pray that we might see his power as there by that riverside that day. God, come and break open hearts to receive his word for his glory. Amen.